Okay, here we are, our latest edition of the Deep Three, joined today by Mr. Josh Oliver. We want to talk about an exciting event coming up in our area in a couple weeks. Josh, I'll just go and let you introduce yourself, and we'll hop right in.
Yeah, so I am probably one of the few non-Yakin natives that you've had on this podcast.
Trying to spread our demographic a little bit, you know.
But I am from Elkhart, Indiana, which is near South Bend, which is Notre Dame, Fighting Irish country, which I am a proud, maybe not proud after last night's loss. again, another heartbreaker.
Football season's coming up.
Football, hopefully. But I'm from South Bend, Indiana, and went to college in Minnesota at a small college called Pillsbury College, Baptist Bible College. We were not the Pillsbury Doughboys, which is what...
You never heard that.
I've never heard that one. But met my wife there. We started dating about, I'm going to say, 3 weeks into our freshman year.
Okay.
Took a long time. Yeah. That's a funny story in itself. Our sophomore year, after first semester, literally the college closed. It ran out of money.
Okay.
Literally ran out of money. And then came down here to Carolina University.
All right.
And I'll just be honest, it was pure selfish motives. We were like free agents in sports, and all these colleges were coming in offering us deals, and they offered a half-off tuition for the rest of my time there and my wife. And so we went for free, basically.
Nice.
And so I came here, and... After our sophomore year, we got married, so I was all of 20 and she was 19.
Okay.
And so now we have two boys, Joel, who is 8, and Tobias, who is 7. So that is kind of the quick, and I'm the student pastor here in Yakin County at Union Grove Baptist Church, and been there for 3 years now, starting our fourth year. So. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions I want to get into just based on not knowing all that story. But basically, it sounds like you almost got an NIL deal before you had NIL.
Yes, you could say it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, played soccer in college and basketball in college.
Okay.
Which is probably the lesser sport that most people think about with me is basketball.
So. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I can definitely see the soccer in you for sure, even on the basketball court. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. So let's jump in. I want to talk about the big Disciple Now event here at the end, but so we'll get there eventually. But let's just jump into the Deep Three. You talked about playing sports in college. So what would be your favorite sports memory, either playing, watching, participating, whatever it may be?
So I've got two of them.
Okay.
One is, I'm going to go the recent one, because of my boys who are big into sports now. They love them some sports, and especially soccer. We were able to, this past summer, take our family up to the MLS All-Star Game.
Oh, wow.
In Minnesota. So I have a buddy of mine, probably my best friend, best man at my wedding. Shout out to Tim Jess in Minnesota, who's probably never heard of this podcast.
Hey, he'll be listening. I will shoot the link.
He's
about to get big in Minnesota now.
Yeah, yes. He is a season ticket holder of the Minnesota United FC. Since its birth, so he was able to get really cheap tickets. So we were able to sit in the supporter section of the Minnesota United and watch the La Liga All-Stars versus the MLS All-Stars. Okay. And my boys, we got to go this past summer, and they have just now ate up all. They're now all into every league that's out there, European and MLS and all that. So that's my first one, just because it's like the aha moment.
Yeah, for sure.
My other one is playing. I told you I played at Pillsbury in Carolina, but Pillsbury, the school was closing. So we were this small, like really small college, and we're playing a D2 school in Waldorf in Iowa. And It was the last home game of the season ever.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah. We're talking about ever. And they had beaten us, I think, like 7-5 before. And we were really good. I mean, we'd only lost like, I think we only lost like six games my freshman, sophomore year combined.
Wow.
But they were one of those, I mean, D2 school, I mean, they're a lot bigger than us. And we go out, we're playing under the lights at this local soccer complex. Wow. Under the lights, it's freezing rain in Minnesota, ice particles going. And senior night, and we're honoring all these seniors who played 4 years, and then also crying, of course, is going on. And we had won a week prior to rack up the number two seed in the tournament with a bicycle kick the week before.
Yours? No, not mine. Yeah.
But so then the week, next week, now we're playing the last home game.
Uh-huh.
That was under the lights, double overtime winner.
Wow.
So now we're taking these D2, never beat them in school history. And we are up 2-1, and this guy shoots on Waldorf, shoots a rocket shot from about 30 yards into the upper 90. Now it's 2-2. And so then we're about 10 minutes left in the game, and we are playing back and forth, and I slot a through ball as a defensive midfielder to our leading scorer, who puts it into the back of the net. And then the last 10 minutes, we're literally kick it out,
stall.
Just like everything like you could do. And I can always remember, I shared this memory at the worship night in January that we had.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still remember the countdown, 10, 9, and then the fans just running in onto the field, hugging, you know. People are, it was just mass, like, hysteria and crying and just everyone then huddling and singing, like, the alma mater, like they do, like, at, like, D1 sports.
Yeah.
And we sang our alma mater on the field. And just the amazing, so I have the last recorded assist ever in the school history.
That's
so amazing. Yes, that is probably the favorite, but then also my kids seeing them now get into that is probably my second. So
good memories. Good stuff, good stuff. Closing down Pillsbury.
Yes.
Program with a W.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, let's transition to culture. So something you can't get enough of, be it the food, a TV show, a place you guys like to go, whatever. Pretty wide open on this one.
So what I can't get enough of, probably the main thing is my watching soccer with my kids.
Okay.
Like they are, especially my oldest, Joel. He was telling me the other day, he came up to me in the morning getting ready for school. He's like, you know, Manchester United plays this tonight at like 3:00. And I'm like, how do you know this, son?
Yes.
He's like, oh, well, in my spare time at school, in your spare time at school, okay.
Yeah.
I have my Chromebook and I just look up Manchester United fixtures. And I just look at their schedule. And so he is all about some Manchester United and Minnesota United. And just anything soccer, they will, every Saturday morning when we can, at 7:30, Premier League comes on. We are watching it as a family Saturday morning. So that is probably the most I can't get enough of time of just drinking my coffee and getting with them watching soccer.
Gotcha. That's very cool that they'll get up and then they know about it.
Yeah.
On that, I've got to ask this question. Like with soccer and watching it on TV,
yes.
I mean, kind of the thing a lot of people are thinking, at least in America, would say, is boring.
Oh, yeah.
How would you go back against that? And how do you get your, how is it that your kids feel so drawn into it?
I think, so for my kids, I think playing it helps, but also they love just the tackles and the fights sometimes and the passion. They love watching. I think just it's not boring to them because they're learning the game.
Yeah.
So they love watching just any game, soccer game, and just learning, like, why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? And they also just like the colors. Okay. Too, like, they like the third kits, for people who don't know, it's like their alternative jersey.
Right.
So they're like, why are they in pink jerseys today? Or why are this team wearing this color? And so I don't know. I think that helps keep away the boredom, but also the fans. They like watching the fans too scream bloody murder at the ref and the fans as well. So
yeah, love the game. I mean, it's the world's game. So yeah, if you're not watching it, get in there and be more like Josh and his family and get you some soccer on your TV, or go down to Charlotte FC. I went to their first home game.
Yeah.
Heartbreaker. Yeah. Gave up one in the last, like, 2 minutes of the game, but great experience, a lot of fun, and I'm just hoping it helps to grow the game.
I mean, Apple Plus, Apple TV.
Yeah, you got all of them.
All of the MLS games. Shout out again to my buddy Tim Jess, who hooked me up with that. So
there you go. Tim Jess is the man. All right, so last one. Faith, obviously something important to both of us. So what's something that God is teaching you right now?
Yeah, so right now, a couple things is reading through the Bible chronologically.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, like, we have our, especially the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, that's not how the Bible's written. So, like, Job's kind of thrown in after Genesis 11, so reading through it chronologically right now. And one thing's also with this season is Lent.
Right.
So,
now, hold on, we're Southern. And
I know.
What is this?
Lent thing. Yeah, so mainly, you know, with the Catholics and especially Greek Orthodox, a lot of people give up something to be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice.
Right.
And so I don't give up anything. I also don't get the ash cross on my head. You didn't see me there last week with that. But
sure.
I do appreciate a little bit of the idea of Lent and the reminder of getting into the Easter season. So every year around Lent, I kind of start doing some more Lent devotions too on top of my reading, just as a reminder of preparing my life into the Easter season. And so with that, and reading, just got done reading Leviticus and Numbers.
All right.
The biggest, you know, the
plowing big, through.
You
made it. A lot of people, if they're reading through, that's where they just end up shutting it down.
Yeah.
So, good job.
Just seeing, being reminded of all the sacrifices they had to do.
Yeah.
And then thing about Lent, a lot of people give up things for Lent.
Right.
It doesn't matter. God's just really teaching me there's nothing I can give up or nothing that I can do that's going to save me.
Hmm.
And there's nothing that I can do sacrificially that is going to make God love me more.
Yeah.
And so really my life is when I sacrifice or I give something up, it's out of my devotion and my love for God and for His Son's sacrifice. So really what He's teaching me is the more the motivation behind what I'm doing. It's I'm loving because Christ loves me and I want to show love to Him. And that doesn't mean He's going to love me more or any less when I screw up as well. Mm. So
it's like, what's your heart? Check your heart. Or something I say a lot. Is what's the why?
Yeah.
Like, what's the why behind what you're doing?
Yeah.
That's what's important. So that is good stuff. So people in our area, don't be afraid to check out Lent. I feel like Advent maybe is like creeping up a little more. People are more aware of Advent at Christmas.
Yes.
This is kind of like the Advent of Easter type thing.
Yeah. I think that is, especially as Southern Baptists, Protestants, we kind of get a little scared of Lent a little bit, especially because of what we're afraid to get the cross and all this stuff. And I'm all like, I'm not all about that, but I do think the preparing our heart for Easter in this busy time, right? We're always busy,
right?
Kind of to set that side of the 40 days of just being able, like, hey, let's tune my heart and be reminded of Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. And I think that's important.
For sure. Very good. Very good stuff.
Lent reference. Didn't see that coming.
I didn't, but I love it. I love it, yeah. All right, we'll jump into overrated and underrated, kind of three random questions here, Josh. And then they will be tied into what we talk about later. First, we've got Stanley coffee cups. Now, I first just wrote Stanley cups. I was like, well, that's hockey, obviously. Yes. But focusing on, I guess we can talk about either one, Stanley coffee cups or and/or Stanley cups. But let's start with Stanley coffee cups.
All right.
What's your thought on that?
So I'm guessing that the new craze is the tall Stanley with the straw thing. So I don't have one, and
you are a man.
No offense
to men who might have one, but it's that's the thing a lot of women have. My wife has, I don't know how many jobs, but like she buys them for gifts for people, and then she's like, I like that, I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah. So I do know a few people who have them.
Yes.
I'm gonna go overrated on Stanley coffee cups.
Okay.
But underrated on your main coffee cup.
Okay. So like a go-to one.
Yes, go-to. So
what's your go-to? Yeah.
So I'm going to be plugging four of us here, but is a gift that my soccer team gave me this past fall. It's got a Falcon four bush. It's insulated coffee mug. That's usually my go-to. But I'll say this. I bought my wife one of these. It's an iron flask coffee mug.
Iron flask. I haven't heard of that.
So like hydro flask.
Okay, yeah.
But iron flask.
Okay.
And it's got the little clip-on lid. Keeps it warm. Uh-huh. No spilling. Anything like that. So overrated on coffee, because it's just a trendy thing. And let's just be honest, it's going to go away and some other coffee mug's going to come through.
I guess maybe I'm thinking of the Stanley. It's a little more, that one is a little more about water maybe. Yeah. But I do have, not that style, but like you guys know Stanley. It's got the green Stanley's, like the old throwback.
Yes, okay.
And I've got one that is kind of thin. It fits in a coffee cup holder in my car. Got a little push button release.
Yes, I got you.
It's in my car right now. I have my coffee this morning. It's my go-to.
Okay.
That's
go-to is underrated though.
Yeah, and I think as one who tends to just collect dirty coffee mugs in my car and office.
Yes.
Having one that you can just keep clean and keep using is a very smart idea.
Yes. So that's my underrated.
All right. Do you have a go-to coffee while we're talking about that?
Go-to coffee right now, I'd say my go-to coffee is Black Rifle.
Okay.
So shout out to Nick McDonald.
Yeah.
Who got me on that kick. So get it every morning.
Do you have a particular blend or dark roast, medium?
Just black. Just black. That's what it says. That's the
just black.
Just black.
All right.
Just plain, simple, no frou-frou.
No frou-frou.
Yeah, just.
Okay. And I'm trying to do that, be more healthy, drinking more black coffee. So it's definitely more important that you have a good coffee if you're not putting anything in it.
Yes.
Because you can tell the difference between a good coffee and a bad coffee.
Yes.
I'm with you. On that. While we're up talking about, if we take the coffee, Eric, out of Stanley coffee cups, we got Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Hockey, we'll transition that to soccer. We've talked a good bit about soccer. How did you enjoy the Men's World Cup? I figure you watched a good bit of that.
Pretty much all of it. Yeah. And I'll be honest, my son had a game during the United States-Netherlands knockout.
Oh, wow.
So me and my buddy Connor, most people know Connor as my assistant coach for just about anything, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
But big bearded guy. We were watching it on the phone while watching my son play. Both my sons had games, so we were like watching it, looking up. My son's not in the game. Cruel. Oh, go. And then we were... So it was. So that is about how excited I was. In fact, I was preaching during the final.
Right.
And I had Connor and my buddy Tim Jess texting me while I was preaching.
Oh wow!
So my watch starts vibrating.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know what this is about. And they were heathens watching it during church. In their church service.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Doing the, like, down here.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it thoroughly. I did not like the Argentina one. I was definitely rooting for France in the World Cup final. Yeah. I also liked how Morocco kind of
Underdog.
Underdog, yeah. I like that. So that was kind of – but favorite game was Netherlands-Argentina just because there was about to be a fight.
Oh, that was a wild game, man.
Yes. If it, after the final, I mean, just with the all the gold, but Netherlands and Argentina was by far my favorite. Yeah. Just because Messi is, you know, making signs at the head coach and just talking junk. And then you got Woodhorst, who's now at Manchester United, who's like 6'6" and towers over Messi, like yelling at him.
Now, if that's the game, am I right, when somebody kicked the ball into the, like, right into the bench from the other team?
Yeah, yes, yes. That was Argentina kicking the ball into the Netherlands bench, yeah, too.
They blasted it, right?
Yeah, yeah, double over. It was just awesome for Netherlands to come back two down to win. And then, so, definitely, yes.
Okay, we'll jump into that a little bit more. But I remember watching that game.
Uh-huh.
This is a good transition.
Yes.
I'm just going to pass on the back.
Okay.
On the treadmill.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about treadmills now. I was at the Y watching the end of that game while getting the run in. So you're good, big into running.
Yes.
So, and I think you just got a treadmill.
Yes,
so
I did.
Treadmills, overrated or underrated?
So they are, to me, a little bit overrated. But they are very useful. They are becoming very useful to me.
Yes.
So I'm going to say they are useful.
Okay.
Because I love running the streets.
Yeah.
I love running. I try to get up every morning and run on the street. Not in Yakinville or Yakin County yet, because I'm afraid I'm going to get run over. I live near 67.
I would not run 67 or anything.
So I go, but where I live, I'm about like 10 minutes and I'm into Louisville. So I run around in Louisville area or Renolda Village, very underrated spot to go run, or Jamison Park area. So, but because of a lot of the coaching, a lot of late nights, it has been very useful so I don't die of not getting sleep.
Yeah.
To hop on the treadmill and get a good, you know, good run in the
morning.
And
you're knocking out the driving time. So
yes.
Saving some gas money and
yes.
All that stuff.
Favorite is
more sleep.
Favorite is on the road for sure.
Yeah.
But it's been very useful lately, and my wife is very thankful that I have not gotten hit lately by a car. So, which is a whole nother story.
Okay, we just leave that hanging.
Yes,
if he got down, you can ask him about that story later on. So, I think you say useful. I won't say underrated. I like them if you get a good treadmill. Now, I've got one at home. It's not the best, so I do use ones at the Y a good bit. I do like outside, but I'm kind of a wuss, so it needs to be nice weather for me. So I can just kind of get on the treadmill, kind of zone out, put in a podcast or turn on a TV show and just roll.
Yeah, I am like negative, like 2 degrees. I'm out there. Yeah. I'm bundling up, hot, cold. That is any time.
Okay,
so
it's just been confirmed. Josh is definitely tougher than me. So, okay. So, we're kind of neutral on treadmills that do serve a good purpose. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, last one will be Airbnb. I guess we can throw in Vrbo, whatever.
Yeah. I think they're a little bit underrated.
Okay.
I'm just be honest, I'm kind of looking at one right now to rent. So, coming up with the anniversary coming up.
Yes.
So, I think they're underrated. So, you can get some good Airbnb, Vrbo, whatever, at a good price if you do some digging.
Yeah.
And some really awesome spots. And when I say awesome, away from people.
So you and I like the same type of vacation.
Yes. So I like to be away from people.
Yeah.
And so looking at one, my anniversary's coming up, so looking at one, and it's kind of off the beaten path,
okay,
near the water, but it's not near people, and that's
you can go recharge.
Yes.
Take a break.
And sure. I know a couple people that, I mean, they've gotten some Vrbos literally on like private islands for like,
wow,
like $100 a night. And
okay. Send me some links.
I think they went during, you know, the off season. Yeah. But still. I mean, you can get some good hidden gems.
Okay.
And to me, I'm not a big, I like continental breakfast, but I don't eat enough of continental breakfast for me to think it's worth it. So
okay, what about, do you find it any different when you're traveling with kids? Would you prefer a hotel, or you know, does that matter either?
Depends. So we did. My parents hopefully aren't going to listen to this one, but my parents got a Vrbo once in near Galax area, and it was for over Thanksgiving, and they ran. It was their first ever time. So it was, they got a very old house, not recommended. A lot of, like, my kids were like, I'm gonna say 2 or 3 at the time.
Right.
And they had a lot of do not touch stuff. So bad, that was a bad idea.
Do not touch in a?
Yeah, so it was not kid friendly. Okay. So if you're gonna do it, you need to definitely make sure they've got a section that says kid friendly, click it.
Yeah.
My parents were very first time Vrbo people. And I was just like, they were like, come on. I was like, all right. And I was like, it was like throwback, like into your 60s type house, you know, with the porcelain dolls collection.
A little creepy.
Yeah, it was a little creepy. And then the tub broke as well.
Oh, no.
So yeah, it was a little different, but I didn't mind. We've done Vrbos with the kids. I like it because it can be a little cheaper than getting the, when what we need is like the one bedroom suite at the Hampton Inn and with the two kids and just to get some privacy.
Sure.
So I love the, I like the Vrbo, very underrated.
Okay, so you're big on those, but it seems like do your homework.
Yes.
Right?
Do your homework. Don't get the non-kid friendly one with kids.
Yeah, maybe the best deal is not the best one to pick, but you can find some good deals and some good spots.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. So we'll tie back in with that one here in a little bit. So we've talked a little bit about soccer. That's kind of the tie-in with the coffee cup, going to the World Cup type thing. Your playing day's a good bit. We've talked a little bit about teams that you follow, that your kids follow. So let's just kind of, we'll move into your coaching right now. Coaching, so what's your history, and then kind of talk about your role with YSA now?
Yeah, so coaching. So the first ever game I ever coached was while I was in Minnesota. I was at a church in Minneapolis, which was about an hour from the school. My wife and I, she wasn't my wife at the time, but we drove with a couple friends up an hour every weekend into the cities to a church, and they did ministry there, and they had a small Christian school, and they were playing the local Christian school where we were in Owatonna, and for some reason, I don't know why, but the coach couldn't make it.
Oh, wow.
So I get this phone call a couple days out like, hey, our coach isn't going to make it. You know these kids because you come to church with us. Could you coach them? And I'm like, no, I guess. I don't know.
You've never coached.
It was my sophomore year. So I'm a sophomore in college, had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
I really only knew like half the, like 3 or 4 of the kids because the other kids went to other churches.
Yeah.
And I never seen them play. So I go to my coach, my head coach. I'm like, so I'm going to have to kind of miss practice to coach this game.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he was just like, all right, well, here's how much you need to run before practice.
Oh, yeah.
One of those like, they're not really a punishment, but I need you to get your fitness in for the day.
Sure.
So I do that and miss. I go to like the first quarter of practice, and I drive over to the school, and like this team was like never. They were like the bottom feeders too of the league, and I'm just like, they got really two really good kid guys, and I'm just like, I'm like, I don't know, man. And they only had like 12 players, so I had one sub playing, you know, 80-minute game. And we got down fast. It was like 4-5 nothing. And it was halftime, and I'm thinking, all right, we're going to scratch whatever you guys thought was a good idea. Because I basically was like, what positions do you guys play? And they're like, oh, right here and right here. I'm like, all right, go for it, man. I don't know. Sure. And so we switched some things up, and we played 1-1 the second half. Okay. So I think we lost like 6-1, play kind of switched things up, got a little better. And that was my first time coaching, and then – I ended up at, after college, I was a teacher at Sheets Memorial Christian School in Lexington. Got my jacket on from there still. And was the assistant coach there and really learned a lot from their coach, the head coach there. And then was there for 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and then became an AD up at Community Baptist in Reidsville. And so then I started the soccer program there.
Wow, nice.
So they had only had basketball. So we went there. I went there. And the first, went there in January. And in February, so I was there like a month and a half. We had our first girls soccer season.
Okay.
These girls had never touched a soccer ball in their life.
Wow.
And we ended up going 6-6 that year.
Okay.
So 500.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty remarkable,
for sure,
awesome time. And then had the boys, and they did pretty. They were a little. They were harder to get around, just because they were stubborn. But that's kind of where I really started honing in more of my coaching skills. Mm-hmm. Also coached basketball there, varsity boys and girls basketball. I was assistant for the boys, and then the co-coach for the girls.
Okay.
So won some, it's called NACA, the National Association of Christian Athletes Invitational. Big, if you go on Google NACA, Tennessee, they got huge private school invitational.
Okay.
So from like your elite prep schools go play there in this, to your like your small schools. And we ended up, the girls, I think we won two championships there.
Wow.
And then the boys won a Division 4 won my last year there. So yeah, coached basketball. And then from there, kind of got out of coaching. Because I went to South Carolina, and I take that back. I went to South Carolina, and I had a U11, some U11 kids, which is like fifth graders,
right,
in my church. And their mom came up to me and was like, hey, I know you've coached soccer before. my kids need a coach. Their team needs a coach.
Like tomorrow.
Like tomorrow. So would you be willing to coach them? And I'm like, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not? So like asked the wife. I had like a newborn baby at the time, which is a funny fact. Going back to Reidsville, my son was born May 7th. During that time, we had I was hosting a soccer tournament at Community Baptist.
Oh, wow.
So my son, 2 days after he was born, was on the soccer field. So
there you go. Starting them young. That's why they got the itch right now.
So then coached a U11 team, then kind of took off for a while, and then came to Yakin County and got connected with Seth Davis, Forbush men's coach, and
who needs to be on the podcast.
We just struck a friendship.
Yeah.
And he was like, this past men's season, but the one before, he was, I just kind of like would go to the games, and he would ask me after the game, what did you see? And I'd just be like, hey, this is what I see. And then me and him started talking about getting the Yakin Soccer Association Academy program. He asked if I'd be interested. Said, yeah, what's that mean? And so we started talking. And then we started that this past fall. And that led this summer into a couple parents asking me and Coach Davis to be the middle school, Forbush Middle School coach. And I said, if the wife's okay, yeah, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
And she's been more than gracious in all the endeavors. And my kids love it because they get to run around on the soccer field. Yeah. And they look up to a lot of these middle school and high school kids, whether they realize it or not, my kids look up to them. And so that has led us to, what am I into now? The spring, my first ever track coach.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that is, we started that a couple weeks ago.
You got just a couple of students out there, right?
Got a few. I think we got 25 boys and 25 girls. Okay. And so my wife, she is the encouragement coach. She's out there helping me coach. She's the encourager. She's the one that kind of also is like, I call her the mama coach. So she helps me, helps them. And then my buddy Connor, he's my throwing coach. And okay. We've got another coach, Mike Parker. He's out there. But I've ran track and cross country in high school, but we're in the track coach. So we'll see how this goes. But definitely more the soccer side is more where I'm at. So
with the YSA and the academy, you know, maybe there's people listening, I hope, that what is that? I'm interested. Yeah. My kids play soccer. They've been doing rec. So, I guess, what's the commitment and why would you say, hey, you guys should give it a shot?
Yeah, so YSA, Yakin Soccer Association, is part of the North Carolina Youth Soccer Association statewide. And they run your club level, your club and your rec level programs. And basically, Academy was created probably about 7-8 years ago to kind of bridge the gap between rec and club, which is your travel and your more higher level commitment into soccer.
Right.
And basically, rec, as you are a coach.
Yes.
In the rec program.
Yeah.
You have those a lot of those players that once you hit kind of the U8 level, you start seeing there is a discrepancy in talent. And especially when you're playing boys and girls together.
Right.
And so what this does is Academy splits the boys and girls. So the boys play other boys' academies and girls play other girl academies. You have your occasional co-ed games with other academies if they can't field one or the other.
Sure.
But you don't have to be the greatest soccer player to be an academy. Academy is there to help kind of take make soccer fun training program, okay. I guess is the way. So we're there to have fun, but it's also to like bridge the gap to, all right, it's fun, but we're not just dribbling through cones anymore, or we're not just dribbling back and forth. It's, all right, here's what the next progression looks like. So your 4v2 games, your how do we turn with the ball, learning different turns, learning different passing techniques, and really trying to get into the more of the nitty-gritty basics.
Right.
So, and let's just be honest, a lot of people, we love that the YSA coaches that volunteer.
Yes.
Because we need people to volunteer at YSA for coaches.
100%.
But they don't all have coaching degrees or coaching passions. So what YSA has done is with the Academy, Coach Davis and myself and Coach Marco Reblar and Coach David Marcinkiewicz, who all have a coaching license. Well, we're We have coaches that we're trying to train to take over so that we're over it, but we can kind of help coach with other parents. So we've got, I know at the U9 and U10 level, three for the girls, three other moms that help coach.
Awesome.
And for the guys, I've got two other fathers that help coach as well. So the idea is we help coach, but we're also teaching other coaches so that when they get to U12 and U15, there's coaches that can take over, and that we don't have four coaches coaching everything from U9 to. But why you should put your kid in it is that they're going to learn a lot more than right. your basic, just like, hey, dribble, shoot. And it's a challenge. I'll be honest, the fall league, we took 12 U9 and U10 kid boys and girls, and we went and played other academies, and it was a struggle, but uh-huh. we grew a lot.
Yeah.
So we just started our spring season, and it's already night and day. We added some players from that played rec in the fall to the program, so now we have a U9 boys, a U9 girls, a U10 boys, a U10 girls program. Nice. And they are doing so well. We've branched out, got some Elkin kids, some Mount Airy kids.
Wow.
So Yakin Academy is not just for Yakin, even though that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
Starmount, Kitside, Forbush, don't matter. Even though a bunch of Forbush coaches may be coaching it, we love to get some Starmount people involved.
Sure, for sure.
I do tell the parents, I said, I would love to coach all these boys at the middle school level or girls, even though I know I can't. I just want them to grow in their love for the game and see their smiles as they learn something new, whether it's an overlap or a pass back or a Ronaldinho move or whatever, you know. So that's my
spiel. I love that notion. Been pushing me to get my girl there. We'll see. Maybe soon enough.
I mean, I already have a coach already that we can insert. What I say is, if your child wants to play in middle school or high school, you really need that foundation now.
Sure.
And it's not to say that they're going to make the middle school or high school team, but.
Right.
I mean, our goal is that they're going to build a love for the game. It doesn't matter if they play in middle school or high school. We just want to build soccer lovers.
As we
can tie that into disciple of Jesus lovers.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that was kind of where I was going to go the transition. Like, you talked about you guys, Coach Davis, Rebelar, Marcin Cavis, yourself, training up other coaches.
Yes.
Kind of like discipleship, right?
Yes.
Training up others who can then train up others, which is a great tie-in to Disciple Now, the event we want to talk about. Kind of that tie-in from Airbnb and Vrbo. For some churches, this is like an overnight trip, right? You stay somewhere else or whatever, and then come together for these services. So, why don't you just give us an overview of, you know, when and where and how and what it's going to look like for Disciple Now.
Yeah, so this is the second year of Disciple Now. It's going to be March 17th and 18th, Friday night and all day Saturday at Peace Haven Baptist Church. But basically, Disciple Now is churches coming together to push discipling, training up youth, so that they can disciple their peers and getting them to know more about their Savior so they can go out and share the gospel. This year's theme is the community of one. So we're trying to really push the emphasis that we are a community of Yakin County, and we're all in the same community of believers that are on the same team to share the gospel about our Savior and then disciple people about and growing in their faith in their Savior. But it has been fun. Last year was awesome. Just getting to see churches come together, kind of like Impact, but in a different setting where I feel like Impact, we're so spread out, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Where this is all in one location for the most part, except for when we go split up into the game time, which I'll tell you a little bit about later, but it's all at one time. We're all worshiping together as one body, one community, learning together as one community, eating the great food as one community. And like you said, some churches take that and they'll stay overnight at host homes. That's not a prerequisite. I mean, right. I know a lot of churches that didn't do that last year. Sure. So it's all up to each. I think that's the beauty is there's, it's all up to the church. It's all up to their each church and their youth group and what they want to do. I know some churches that had some that didn't go have host homes and some that didn't want to stay. So they just got, I mean, it's all up to you. I mean, and as a church, and I love that we don't, as someone that's kind of putting it in the back, the putting it together behind the scenes, I don't have to be like, you got to do this and have all this stuff going on.
Right.
So, but I guess schedule wise, it starts 6 o'clock Friday night, with supper, and I believe it's pizza.
Yeah.
And we're having pizza over at Peace Havens gym. And then 7 o'clock, we'll get started with worship. This year, we've got some crazy games going to happen. No sardine spitting.
No sardines, but maybe somebody who brought sardines may show up.
I hope not. Jared.
They won't be bringing sardines, but a person who has
brought
them in the past.
Yes.
Maybe
definitely.
Let me say that correctly.
Definitely, yes. we'll have Sam Stone's. I don't know the name that they made band. I call it Sam Stone and his band, which is the Somersault Retreat band. Fort Caswell band.
I like Somersault
Retreat band.
That's good. Let's go for that one.
But
sure.
they're gonna be leading worship. They were here at Impact this past summer. Most of them. And then speaking, we got Austin McCann, and he is a fellow Yakin person for a couple years at Courtney Baptist Church. He was youth pastor over there. He's now gone north for the last 10, 11 years. But if you don't know Austin, he is loves God and loves students ministry. And even though he's not in it right now as he's an executive pastor, he still loves students. He's got a heart for the one community of Jesus in the body of Christ. Awesome. And I'll let him share his testimony this come in the next weekend. But after
and
that...
Maybe, Josh, we're going to sneak him on the podcast. Maybe.
We need
we're
to.
See.
Also, if you love basketball, huge basketball fan.
Yes.
So he's already looking for some 3-on-3 when we play on Saturday.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, we do have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the afternoon. We kind of split up betting on what you want to do. So we've got at Peace Haven, we got some basketball, some ping pong, volleyball going on, crafts. We got 5 or 6 video game systems.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not the video game system because I had to think about that. So I don't know what those, PlayStations, Xboxes, all that, whatever. Not in charge of that. I delegate that stuff.
Yes.
But so some people stay there depending on what they want to do. I think they're making bracelet, whatever the Lululemon, whatever cool bracelets, the weaving bracelet. I don't know.
Yeah.
My wife is in charge of that. I just order it.
There you go.
But they're doing bracelets and color by number, teenage adult color by number stuff, which I know kids are into these days.
For sure.
Not me. But then we'll also have a group over at the Y playing some Gaga ball. I think maybe if we can, some 9-square.
Okay.
We're going to set up some 9-square, hopefully, and have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament and a 3-on-3 soccer tournament, indoor soccer tournament.
Nice.
So, which we did last year, and so that is going on. So, Austin, I'm going to try to sneak Austin on my team, and then we just need a third. So, if you want to be our third, come reach out to me, and
okay.
Might steal Jamie, just so we have the old man
Let's
team.
Go.
The old man team versus the world.
I represent the old man team.
All right. So, but yeah, so that's going on. We've got Chick-fil-A lunch on Saturday.
Okay.
We've got spaghetti coming on Saturday night for supper. And then, but also just going to be a great time of just learning about God and worshiping God together. So,
yeah. Okay. Students, if you are listening, we'll get signed up. We'll put the link in the post here and or reach out to Josh or myself to get some more information. Any church leaders listening, it's not too late to get your group in, right, Josh?
Had people sign up overnight already.
I mean,
every day I look at it, there's like a few, like five or six more. I'm like, okay.
Awesome.
So it's already bigger than it was last year.
Awesome.
So that's all God's glory. Nothing that me or Brent or Jared or anyone else has done. It's all God working in Yakin County.
Awesome.
And we're excited about that.
Love the Big C Church coming together to worship. I love the notion of community of one. Looking forward to seeing Austin. I mean, I think it's going to be a great weekend. So, anything else you want to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know there. If you can't make it on a Friday night, I know there's games. You know, a school Star Mount Forbush. If you got games, come Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think just because you can't come on Friday or you can't come Saturday, come when you can. I mean, if you got game on Saturday morning or something going on, students, come Saturday night.
Yeah.
I know we had some that could only come last year on Saturday night, and it was so impactful with the Ask Me Anything section that we had. That was our biggest attended session,
right?
I think because they could ask anything, and we... Rick Kleiner did a great job. He was speaker last year, hitting all that. So don't be afraid. If you can only come on one session, or you can only come all day Saturday, you can only come Friday, come. Let God use the teaching of His Word and the worship that time. Don't hold back. Like, I can't come to everything.
Right.
And I think the other thing is invite. And it doesn't matter if it's the day of. We're not holding anyone back. I mean, we will take the day of registration.
Okay.
We want anyone and everyone to come. And we've got some awesome ministry partners as well. Want to thank Live Like Nora for partnering with us in Compassion Care. And I think North Greenville is hopefully going to be back this year. And Pine Lake Bible Camp out of Ohio is going to be coming. And they've always got some candy to give out or something.
Yeah.
So we just really, my big thing is don't be afraid to invite people, your friends. If they've never gone to church, this is something that they will want to come. Like, if you know you've got friends in your middle school and high school or family that don't go to church, this is something that they will easily be given the gospel, but it's that non-threatening environment.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like your traditional church service, that's
gotcha.
For sure.
Okay.
With crazy games and worship, but also Austin's going to bring the Word of God and give the gospel throughout the weekend. So that's what I got to say. Don't be afraid.
Okay. Love it. Love it again. Reach out to Josh and myself. If you've got questions, we'd be glad to get you plugged in, get you signed up. Students, leaders, anybody. Love to answer your questions and have you in there as well. So, Joshua, thanks for being on. We'll wrap this one up. And you may just see the old man squad be ready to dominate out there in the basketball court. We'll see if we can make that happen. But again, thanks for being on. Thanks for what you're doing
thanks
in our community
me.
through coaching and sharing your passion and love for soccer, also for the work you've done to get this Disciple Now ready. I look really excited about it, and hoping that it's a life changer for a bunch of students in our area. So thank you for the work that you've done. We look forward to hearing what God does in just a week and a half from now. It's coming up soon, about 10 days out. So looking forward to that. But thanks for taking your time to be on the Deep 3.
Thanks for having me, man.
And until we do it again.
Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Yep.